It is a pleasure to be with you this morning to install Pastor Nieland, and thank you, Pastor Wesley, for the kind invitation here to be with you. What a privilege, and thank you, too, for the warm weather. That was so nice of you to line that up, and we had some snow in the air on Friday before we left, so we appreciate the nice weather. Yes. I want to speak on this topic of the mentality of God's spokesman. And the lesson was already read this morning from Jeremiah 15, verses 19 through 21. So you have it there in your bulletin under the first lesson. So I'd encourage you to follow along with it there. It's in a little different translation. I'm using the New American Standard. But I love to go just phrase by phrase through God's word, because the power is in his word. Let's pray. Father, would you, by your Spirit, now speak to us and strengthen us, and particularly Pastor Nieland, I pray, to be your spokesman here in this congregation and along with Pastor Wesley. Thank you, Lord, that it's not up to us, but this is your word, and you are the one that has the authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. C.S. Lewis went to visit one of his young preacher friends and to listen to him preach. And everything was fine until the man reached the conclusion of his message. And as he said in so many words, if you will not believe in Jesus Christ, if you refuse to take him as your Lord, you will suffer grave eschatological ramifications. And then he went on and he ended his message. Well, Lewis frowned. And when he had occasion to talk with the young man about the conclusion of his message, he said, "Did you mean that those who refuse to receive the gospel message would go to hell?" "Well, yes," said the young man. "Yes, that's what I meant." And Lewis's response was beautiful. "Then say that." You know, Jeremiah had a challenging message to deliver to the people of his day. And Pastor Nieland, you do too. Pastor Wesley. It's a challenging message to deliver, not real popular. But my prayer is that God may empower you to be his spokesman. And that's a good thing for you as a congregation to pray for your pastors, that they would be true spokesmen. 2 points this morning. First of all, 3 marks of a spokesman of God. Now, I'm going to be preaching primarily to Pastor Nieland, but the rest of you can listen if you want to this morning too, okay? How to be a true preacher, a true spokesman of God. First of all, you understand serving God is an ongoing opportunity. And you know, I say that because it has that little word, if, in verse 19. If. There's conditions to being a spokesman. It's a privilege for a time. Pastors are called for a time. There are many pastors today that are forfeiting the opportunity to be spokesmen for God. It's not a perpetual thing. They fall away from the Lord. They turn from him and from his truth. And then we're one decision away, one temptation away from forfeiting that opportunity. So you must live in repentance to continue to have that opportunity. He says here, Jeremiah, if you return, the prophet's attitude can go bad. And you know what? The preacher's attitude can go bad sometimes too. And the preacher has to be able to return to the Lord. In verse 18, look at what Jeremiah said. He said, "Woe is me. Why has my pain been perpetual?" He's having a hard time. And he had a hard time to do ministry. And pastors are not sinless. And pastors need to ask forgiveness of the Lord just like every one of us do. We have to come back. It's kind of like that marriage relationship. You know, if you don't learn to say, "I'm sorry," I don't think you've got much of a marriage relationship. Not much. And consequently, then you've experienced restoration from God. The Lord says to Jeremiah in verse 19, "I will restore you." Aren't you glad we have a God who can restore sinners? We can't restore ourselves, can we? He has to restore us. Our culture says, "Be tough. Never admit that you're wrong." God says, confess your sins and he will forgive. Preachers need Isaiah 1:18 just like everybody does. Come now, let us reason together. Or, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We preachers need that just like everybody else does. When we've experienced reconciliation with God, then we can lead others to the same Savior. Someone once said to Abraham Lincoln, "Mr. President, I cannot understand you. You treat your enemies with such kindness. It seems that you should want to destroy them." And Lincoln's answer was beautiful. He says, "I destroy my enemy when I make him my friend." And you know what? That's what God has done, hasn't he? God sent his Son into this world to die in our place, take the punishment we deserve, so that we could become his friends. And the preacher's role is to preach the word. So there's conviction of sin, then there's forgiveness, and there can be friendship with God. Secondly, you speak worthy words on God's behalf. The New American Standard says to extract the precious from the worthless. That's part of the pastor's role. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of worthless thoughts that go through my mind. I'm glad they're not up in front for all of you to see them today, because I need the blood of Jesus to forgive and to cleanse me. And I need his word to transform my thinking to be like that of his thinking. And the preacher's need is the same as everybody else. The Lord says, "Before me you will stand." If you do this, in my old office in Cokato, Minnesota, where I preached for 23 years, had a picture on the wall of the pastor at the pulpit, and he's standing there like this, and he's got the Bible in front of him, and then the Holy Spirit is there like a dove going forth with that word, and Jesus is standing right behind him. And I love that picture, because that's the preacher's role, to be a spokesman for God, to speak worthy words on his behalf. What a responsibility, Andrew. On God's behalf. And then he says, "You'll become my spokesman." What a privilege to say, "Thus saith the Lord," like the King James says. You preach against sin and you proclaim forgiveness in Christ. And you proclaim that Jesus died for every sin, no matter what it is. And if we confess, he washes us clean and gives us his righteousness. What a joy to be able to tell people that. And then thirdly, you refuse to follow the people, but you turn the people to God. The preacher's call is to fear God alone and not fear man. And the only way that it's going to happen, Pastor Nealon, is if we spend time in God's word each day, then we understand who we need to please. If we don't spend time in the word, we'll wind up pleasing man. And we got plenty of that around today, don't we? To be a spokesman for God, we have to spend time in God's word. His word is what transforms us. We don't preach to please people. God's standards have not changed, and much of the church has caved into society's change. And so you're called to speak God's word. Bruce Larson said, "There are times when the pastor's task is not enviable." I suppose that's what Vance Havner had in mind when he was the first to say that our job is to comfort the afflicted and on occasion to afflict the comfortable. And he says, "I would a lot rather do the first, though there are times when I have to do both." To allow God's word to do its work, the law and the gospel. Three marks of a spokesman of God. Then secondly, I love this in verse 20, God will empower his spokesman who serves him faithfully. God will do that. Aren't you glad that's not up to us? We aren't anybody different. But if we follow God's calling and speak what he says, He will give the authority. He will empower. Look at what God said to Jeremiah. I will make you a fortified wall of bronze. Boy, do we need leaders like that today. And you are not alone, Andrew, as a preacher of God's word. I will make you. That's a supernatural relationship. I like Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when the preacher preaches God's word, it isn't him just giving a book report. The Holy Spirit uses that word to come to the hearts of people. Jeremiah had a tough task. In fact, we don't have any record in Jeremiah's time of not even one person that repented of their sin. What a difficult time to be a prophet. No one wanted the truth. I don't know, does that sound familiar? It does. But you handle, Pastor Neeland, a powerful book because you handle the Word of God. But notice what it says there in verse 20. People will fight against God's spokesman. Why? Because people want to continue on in their pleasure or their lifestyle or their sin. Think about it in many ways today. You take a stand for biblical marriage today in our culture, and you're going to have people fighting against you. If you stand for abstinence until marriage, you will have people fighting against you. You watch an interviewer that's interviewing a biblical preacher, and he's standing and saying that there is salvation only in one, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that interviewer will try to nail him to the wall. How about a college professor who holds to six-day creation? They will be blackballed and try to get out of the university. Those of you who have raised teenagers, do teenagers ever bump up against standards and try to move them? That's part of their role, isn't it? But the parent's role is to stand like a fortified wall of bronze and listen, yes, but to not move. Society needs standards. I had a situation when I pastored in Cokato, Minnesota for those 23 years. Early on in ministry, there was someone in our church who said, you know, you've got to go to the high school play. It is so funny. And so we went to the high school play. Well, when I got to the high school play and I was listening, I didn't think it was so funny. Some of you maybe know this play, Almost Anything Goes. And, you know, it was the drunken priest. And, of course, everybody laughed when the priest came out drunk. And then you had a younger, like, high school girl, and they were on this ship, and it appeared that she was pregnant, and everybody laughed. And I just started thinking about that, and I thought, you know, when a girl gets pregnant out of wedlock in school, don't laugh. What's going on? And so I just didn't have peace about that. So then I wrote a letter to the editor, to our paper, about Almost Anything Goes. And I said, you know, Dassel Cokato, you pride yourself in being a conservative Christian community, and then you laugh at this. I think we're a lot more like this play than what we're willing to admit. Boy, did that set off letters to the editor for 3 weeks. It was amazing. But you know what? After the guff and some reinforcements, for the next 20 years that we lived there, we went to the play every year. We never had to worry about it being something off color. It was all good. And you know, that's the role of us as preachers today. We stand for what God says, and are people going to butt up against it? You bet they are. They're going to. But that's what we're called to do. That goes with the territory. Yeah, people fight against God's spokesman. But in verse 20, God's spokesman is given some wonderful promises. Look at these unchangeable promises. God's promises empower you. He says in verse 20, I am with you. And you know, that's about all you need. That's all you need. Back in Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 19, the Lord had said this to Jeremiah. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And we got to remember that as preachers today. To speak forth His word, and God says He's going to be with us. Think about Joshua and the challenging task that Joshua had in chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We need to remember that. You are called by the Lord. His word you preach, not yours. And you know, I have to tell you, in this role as president of the AFLC, I have had so many opportunities to preach the word of God in places across this nation. And I have to tell you, I have so much fun, because when the Holy Spirit is using that word and He's communicating it, and then you have somebody come up to you afterwards and say, oh, thank you, Pastor, for that wonderful message. It's like, oh, what do I say? You know what? I got a wonderful book. Thank you, Pastor, for that powerful message. You know what? I got a powerful book. It is so fun to take that and deflect that right back to where it belongs. Because it's not me. It's not us. This is His word. And He's accomplishing something through it. His presence. I like these words of Augustine. When tempted to plunge into the old life, Augustine said, thou fool, dost thou not know that thou art carrying God around with thee? Think about that. That's for every one of us that knows Jesus as our Savior. God indwells you by His Spirit. You're not alone. People might think you live alone, but if you've got Jesus, you're not alone. The presence of God is with you. He's with the preacher. And then look at God's protection in verse 20. God will be your protector. Remember, it's not flesh and blood primarily that we do battle against, pastors. Ephesians reminds us that it's powers, worldly forces of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Over in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, there's this portion where Daniel's praying and he's asking the Lord to do something. And then this angel or whoever it was comes and says, you know, I was hindered by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And Michael came to... It's a description of what's going on in the heavenly realms that we can't see with our physical eyes. And I suspect over this election that's going to happen, there might be some spiritual battles going on in the heavenly realms too. And we need to remember to pray that way. It's not just flesh and blood. This is a battle over the eternal souls of human beings. God versus Satan in the realms. God says He will rescue him. Nothing can get to you without going through your Father's permission. We learn that from Job, don't we? Job chapter 1, verse 10. Satan comes to God and he says, you know, your servant Job, I can't do anything. You put a hedge around him. It's kind of nice to know, isn't it? Kind of nice to know. And then in the end of the book, we read in 42:2 of Job, I love this word. Now I know no purpose of yours can be thwarted. We need to renew that word, thwarted. Bring it back. No purpose of yours can be sidetracked, derailed. God's purpose, whatever happens in this election, whatever happens, God's purpose in this world is still going to be accomplished. And we can rest in that. We don't have to live in despair. And then he says he will save him. God will rescue him. He will save him. I got to see if Titus is listening over there. Titus, are you and Leah listening? Do you know, remember what happened to Daniel? Remember when that big bad wolf came and tried to eat up Daniel? No? Was it a... Oh, it was a lion, wasn't it? The lion came to try to eat up Daniel when he was thrown into that den. And did the lion eat up Daniel? No, he did not. Because God sent his angel there to shut the mouths of the lion. And that's the kind of protection the pastor has today when we stand. Nothing can come to us when we stand for truth. God will protect. Three Hebrew children going into the fiery furnace. We were talking last night over supper of, boy, you sit around a campfire or you sit where there's smoke and it's going to be in your hair and everywhere else, but not in that situation, right? Those three Hebrew children didn't even smell for smoke. God's protection over his people. I will rescue, verse 21, from the hands of the wicked. They think they're in control. And it reminds me of like Jesus going to the cross. Who is in control? No man takes my life from me, right? But I freely give it up of my own. That's the kind of protection we have in Jesus. And Jeremiah, they tried to get rid of him, but in Jeremiah 36, 26, it's interesting how it says, the Lord hid him. The Lord hid him. He protected him. I want to close with this story. Many, many years ago, Felix of Nola was escaping his enemies and he took temporary refuge in a cave. He had scarcely entered the opening of the cave. And you know what happened, Titus? A spider came and started weaving a web across the entrance to the cave. With remarkable speed, the insect completely sealed off the mouth of the cave with an intricate web, giving the appearance that the cave had not been entered for many weeks. As Felix's pursuers passed by, they saw the web. They didn't even bother to look inside the cave. And as the godly fugitive stepped out into sunlight, he uttered these insightful words, where God is, a spider's web is a wall. Where God is not, a wall is but a spider's web. God can use even the most insignificant thing in his creation to protect his spokesman. So, Pastor Nealon, Pastor Wesley, keep preaching the Word of God. Congregation, keep praying that your pastor will preach the word and you stand on the word, because that's the place where there's security still today. Father, thank you for your word and the power of it. Pray that you'd strengthen my brothers, strengthen me, that we can stand for you in these days, for however many days we have left, until you come again. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to call Pastor Nealon forward at this time for the installation, along with the church council, those that are here. If you would come, I'll have Pastor Nealon stand right here, and then the church council members in just kind of a semicircle behind him for the installation here. All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Inasmuch as Pastor Nealon, who presents himself before you, has been duly called, examined, and ordained to the holy office of the gospel ministry, and has expressed his desire to be installed as adjunct pastor of this congregation, I will now, in the name of the Triune God, proceed to the act of installation by directing certain questions to Pastor Nealon and to you as officers of this congregation. Do you, as officers of Gloria Dei Lutheran Congregation on its behalf, acknowledge that Pastor Nealon has been regularly called to become the adjunct pastor of this congregation, and are you ready to receive him as such? If so, answer yes.
Yes.
And do you, Pastor Nealon, solemnly promise that in this congregation you will publicly and privately declare the Word of God and its truth and purity in accordance with the teachings of the Lutheran Church? If so, answer yes.
Yes.
Do you promise to conduct yourself in public and in private as it becomes your office and the sacred ministry of the word? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you promise to diligently visit the sick and the poor and the needy in the congregation and to carefully instruct the young in the doctrines of our Christian faith? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you promise to comply with the constitution of this congregation? If so, answer, I do. May God grant you grace to fulfill these promises as a servant in His church into the glory of His name and to the salvation of souls. I likewise ask you as officers of this congregation, do you promise on behalf of the congregation to regard Pastor Nealon as one of your teachers, to hear and respect him as a shepherd of souls in accordance with the word of God and the constitution of this congregation? If so, answer, we do. And do you promise to assist him by word and deed according to opportunity and ability, both in the exercise of his office and in the maintenance of order and discipline? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
And do you promise as a Christian congregation to pay your pastor promptly and faithfully the salary designated and to show him concern as he ministers among you, providing for his needs that he may labor among you without temporal anxiety? If so, answer, we do. Each of these requirements and promises is essential for the well-being of the pastor and the congregation. God grant that you may keep your promises unbroken before the Lord. In view of these promises mutually made, all in accordance with the Word of God, the confessions of the Lutheran Church, the order and practices of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, and your Constitution, I now install Pastor Nealon as adjunct pastor of Gloria Dei Lutheran Congregation, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the chief shepherd of the church so direct pastor and congregation by his Holy Spirit that they may always be built upon the eternal foundation in Zion, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen.